I do the
harassing her.
The millennial period, which is just adding haha at the end of everything.
Sometimes you have to nowadays because it's like, no, I do mean it, sarcasm.
Yeah.
Well, that's right. A lot of people
are, the haha or LOL.
A lot of people are.
Oh, those are the things that like actually exist, right?
Yeah. The old friendly period. A lot of people are like, can we bring back the friendly period so I don't have to put haha at the end of everything?
A friendly period? Is there one?
God damn it.
If she's not a.
You got that? Hype Attack, making grammar fun.
Hey guys. Welcome to the Hype Attack Podcast,
where we weigh in on the latest in nerd and pop culture hype.
We are our band.
We're the excited conversation we all have with our friends
about the nerdy things we love
and geek about.
We are the Hype.
I am the Hype.
That's nice. Cool. Right on. Yeah, hell yeah. Let's do it. Let's hype attack this shit. Ready?
I don't know. We'll see.
Attack this shit so hype like.
I'll cut it in somewhere.
Leave right no here. Doubt. Show no mercy.
What is up, everyone? Welcome back to the Hype Attack Podcast. I am Rudy, joined once again by Jermaine, Doug, and Isaac.
Yo,
what the fuck are you pointing to, Isaac? Stop it. You're distracting me.
Dun, 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 dun.
Howdy.
Welcome back to the podcast where we weigh in on the latest nerd and pop culture hype. Today, we are going to try a little format change. Instead of diving deep into a topic, we're just going to extend our usual, what are you hype about?
A fear change.
Today. Wayne's World reference. Thank you.
Same underwear for last week.
So we're just gonna go around the table, see what everyone's hype about that you know that's happening lately, and maybe expand on that for an episode. See how it goes. I'm excited.
Right on. Should we? I mean, before we get into any personal stuff, I mean, I feel like we all want to talk about the Acolyte.
Yeah.
Maybe. Well, that's kind of my personal thing that I want to talk about. If we can,
let's get started with it.
Can I quickly remind people, if you're listening to this, just a little friendly reminder, if the algorithm plopped this episode randomly, and this is the first time you're listening to us, go to YouTube. We're also dropping full video episodes. Don't let Rudy's blood, sweat, and tears go to waste, please. I won't hear the end of it.
We're actually getting some comment traffic on the YouTube, when you guys have a chance, just pop up the episodes and like look through the comments, and
so we got like three whole comments.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
I mean, but that's how the conversation starts.
Absolutely, that's true.
Yeah.
Continue the Acolyte.
Star Wars Acolyte Episode 3 released this week on Wednesday to a smattering of shit being thrown at it.
Yeah,
from I want to say all corners because it's pretty much the entrenched.
Yeah.
Old school, self-described old school Star Wars heads that are just flinging mud everywhere. Mm-hmm. Like I actually deep dived a couple of like just random reviews, and for people writing for websites that aren't necessarily like the hardcore fans, they're like, okay, well, this is interesting. The episode was a little clunky. Some of these things were like, the acting was but they're like, oh, the ideas are kind of interesting. I'm kind of interested to see where it goes. And then you go, like, I dove into the YouTube pool. A couple of the popular Star Wars YouTubers are on there, and they're just like, it's over. Star Wars is over completely. Like, this episode in particular is what did it. And I just don't understand.
Okay.
I don't
see that either. I've been seeing and been hearing people shitting on specific things, blowing it up to, and I'm not going to go on some fucking soapbox rant because there's so many specifics, but it's little things where I go, well, I guess so, but it's not like, oh, you're so fucking right. Oh, what, this show's gone to shit. You know? Yeah, there's little things I can nitpick at. I think we all can, but I'm not looking at this as what everyone's calling like a fucking dumpster fire. No.
Like, I absolutely don't understand that attitude. Like, it's the third episode of, like, a brand new property and a brand new timeline in the universe. And I guess people aren't, like, falling to their knees and orgasming and ecstasy over every single episode. And it's like, oh, no, well.
Is that what it is? That
it's over.
They feel like they need to, you know, fucking jizz at every single episode, Doug?
I,
we live in, like, I think one of you guys said it, I don't know, maybe one of my other friends said it, we live in a golden age of television right now. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of really, really well-written, well-produced, well-acted shows out there.
Like movie quality.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's important to note that Star Wars has never been that.
That part.
People want to act as if Star Wars was always this, like, I mean, and the original ones were, from a technological standpoint, amazing, mm-hmm. right? But they've never had amazing acting. They've always had weird, clunky dialogue. You know, we look back at some of the original ones fondly and nostalgic. And I'm not saying, like, they were bad, but I'm just saying, like, they've never had, like, amazing, amazing dialogue and acting and everything. And yet new stuff comes out and people want to hold it to that, mm-hmm. like, well, it's not Game of Thrones. It's like, yeah, because that's fucking Game of Thrones.
Agreed.
And it would be awesome if someone could put a Star Wars show out there. And I would say Andor probably came the closest.
Yeah.
Andor was amazing.
It seems to be what people are comparing yeah. this show to, or every other, even Kenobi.
Andor ditched fucking Star Wars. Mm-hmm. It was a political, like, rebellion, but, like, there was no space wizards, there was nothing else. It was like, kind of more traditional sci-fi war stuff, and which is awesome. I loved Andor. I'd love to see more of that. But it's like, if we want Star Wars, this is what we're going to get. We're going to get hokey space wizard stuff and weird dialogue. I'm not saying this episode was fucking amazing, and it was certainly, like, the little chanting and everything that drove me nuts. Oh, okay. Especially when they kept repeating it. I was like, what? How did this get past editing? How did anyone like watch this and go, yeah, yeah.
Before we get too far from it, have you heard Mark Hamill on multiple interviews talk about what George Lucas wanted as far as, like, this one particular bit of dialogue when they're in the Millennium Falcon? Nobody knows what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, shit. I'll have to look up. Just but it's this whole,
speak on it.
No, it's this whole, like, really, like, long, clunky thing. Just per, like, what you're talking about, like, clunky and cheesy dialogue. Like, it's been in existence. Some of it got lucky enough to get, like, chopped out. But
yeah,
it's always around. It's a sci-fi fantastical world.
Mm-hmm. What is crazy about everybody and their uproar about Star Wars is I do remember where there was a time when we only had, you know, the first six movies, and there was, like, nothing else. And mm-hmm. I used to remember having conversations with people like, man, I just wish we get more Star Wars. And like, when is that day going to happen? And even with comic book movies, but that's another thing, you know, and now we're getting all these things, but it's like we've mentioned, you have these fans and these new fans and kind of nobody's liking anything that they put out. And even with this episode, how she was describing the Force.
Oh, man, that was a big, you know, hot thing.
There's in the threads. There's people online that's really going at it like,
I don't see what the fuck they're bitching about.
We got dumber from the explanation. Like, you're not explaining anything. And then you have the group of people, you know, out there that, like, there's different people out there that have a connection to the Force, but they describe it in a different way, you know. So she's just saying how they view it, what it is to them, how it feels to them. But you just have all these people that just can't accept Mm-mm. something new that comes along.
Mm. New and different.
Yeah.
Whoa, different.
Yeah. It's,
I already sit at the top that I don't like change, Douglas. What's this different?
And I'm getting nervous. It's absolutely wrapped up in the whole women's thing, too, because people are going to great lengths to be like, I'm not against women. I'm not against the lesbians. But this basically sucks. Like, they, like, in the same breath.
Mm-hmm. It's the same people that, like, comment mm-hmm. on women comedians.
Like, yeah, it's just the two things in my mind, the two things don't equate. Like, if you're gonna tell a story about, you know, a coven, whatever, I don't care. Like, if it has to do with Star Wars and if it's told well, cool. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the thing I'm going to be like, oh, well, it's stupid because of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, they touched on space witches in not the Mandalorian.
Ahsoka.
Thank you. Ahsoka, yeah. It was cool to, sorry, real quick. It was cool for them to explore. I was like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Oh, they're not Jedis? Oh, this is cool.
Different set of witches.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they were the good witch or the bad witch, but they were witches, and it was cool to explore and see their life as opposed to being like, there's a bad coven. Like, yeah. You got to explore it a little bit.
My thing was, we've with the witches of Dathomir, we've done that already. Like, they could, there's so many fucking different force sects that they've, not sex.
I was going to leave it in your eye, and I kept it to myself.
There's so many different force religions out there that they've explored, that they've explored in the books and the comics and, you know, the expanded universe, that they could have gone off in so many different directions. And I'm like, okay, we're back with the witch theme. And I mean, I guess it's an easy step to take to, you know, Ahsoka and kind of tying all that together.
Speaking of sex, how are the twins made?
That's another whole other point people were pissed off about, because there's like, oh, it's another forced immaculate conception orchestrated by someone, inferring. They heavily inferred it, but they didn't outright say it.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the people were like, well, if they could do this, how come have that? It just cheapens Anakin's birth. Like, how come they just weren't making force kids all over the place? If they knew all this 100 years ago before, and I'm like, come on, man. Like, that's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway.
Like, it's, they haven't even given you the story yet, and they're immediately jumping on these points. Like, well, this doesn't make sense. Well, it's episode fucking 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I was going to say is, like, I feel like any other movie or any other show, any other movie, any other property, like, the idea of an unsolved or an unanswered question, people accept and get excited. Oh, they're like, well, I wonder what this is. Like, but Star Wars? No. Like, if you don't tell me the fucking answer immediately, this is fucking garbage. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm seeing. And it drives me nuts, because it's like, it's episode 3. Mm-hmm. Like, at least wait till the end of the season. And if they don't answer some of this stuff, if they leave it as lame as it seems now, then yeah, it's garbage. But it's ridiculous to complain about something on episode 3. And here's the thing. Maybe people aren't complaining. You know, the AI writes up stuff. There's so much rage baiting with Star Wars because it is such a hot issue right now. There's so much rage baiting that I think people are going to nitpick every Star Wars thing that comes out.
Which is unfortunate.
Mm. Not every show can be X-Men 97. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Jermaine, did you like Andor? Did you watch Andor?
Mm-hmm.
Andor what?
Did you like it?
Oh, yeah.
So, I was listening to a YouTuber reacting to the episode right after he watched it, and he was just tearing it apart. He was like, it's almost like Andor, which I also didn't finish, and like that I immediately like clicked out of that. I'm like, your opinion is fucking invalid.
Absolutely.
Yeah, those people kill me when they don't finish anything, you know, especially that they have an opinion about, mm-hmm. or that they're complaining about. You didn't even finish it to see if any of your answers, you know, got answered, or to see if it panned out into anything that you would even like.
And to not preface their review by starting with, oh, by the way, I haven't seen the other thing.
going full force,
like, with the confidence of, like, what I'm spewing is correct.
I just want to be clear. I didn't actually watch this, but I read a whole lot of fucking Twitter and Reddit things, and people are mad. Let me tell you why.
And it's
this
enough.
Sucks.
That's all I needed.
Yeah,
I can have a full-formed opinion on it.
Yeah.
Fucking idiots.
I'm jumping on the mad train, not the hype train. Oh, okay, so...
But it makes that money.
In this episode, what did you guys take from... Or what did you guys gather from when the twins said, when they were having the conversations, you know, about them kind of ascending, you know, or whatever, mm-hmm. doing anything. And, you know, they're like, well, I don't want to do this, you know, blah, 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 blah. But when they said, there's not any kids here anyways.
Yeah.
And then the two behind them kind of.
The handmaids.
Look at each other.
Oh,
in that little moment,
maybe they were. I didn't really think about that in the moment, but now that I'm thinking about it, like, maybe they're still working on trying to. Maybe this whole thing was an accident.
Yeah,
Because they were trying it and they can't replicate the results that they got for the first time. So they're still plugging away at it.
Because typically, like in real life, not to say that it's like going to be so, you know, exact, but like in real life with in vitro fertilization, you typically get multiples. You get twins and triplets and shit like that. Maybe they could be pulling from real life and like the twins are a result of some type of, you know, in vitro fertilization.
Yeah. Maybe they were looking at each other like, ugh, when's a good time to explain to the twins that you need a man?
Yeah, so that did bring up a lot of questions because I was like, you know, did they create them? Was it the force? Or, you know, did they take these kids? You know, it's just one of those things that just brought up a lot of questions in that one moment, for me anyway.
Yeah, no, and there were good questions like to make me want to continue watching.
Yeah,
I didn't have a problem with that. My little nitpick, I think you said it before, like what people complain about, I did have a little issue with like the acting. I didn't feel like it was strong, mainly because the budget per episode is like $180 million. And I'm like, and maybe it's tough to find twins matching all the exact things that you need that are actors. I was like, I deserved stronger acting. But I didn't completely take it away from me. Me and Doug were talking about it. I go, my main problem was the fire.
Yeah.
Like, as I'm watching it, I go, isn't this like a mountain made of stone? And the fire really, oh, is this some kind of like space fire?
That was
quickly blew the generator shit up.
And that was like, everyone's another sticking point on it. Like, and someone,
the only problem.
Someone was like, I don't want to jump on the jet fuel can't melt steel beams bandwagon. But what the fuck?
I had a big problem with it.
I saw it and was immediately like, okay, something else happened.
Yeah, I really
it's not, so. It's not the fire, right? And if again, this is one of those things that if by the end of the season they leave it at somehow the door catching on fire led to like power generation blowing up, fuck off. Like then I will hop on the
lazy riding.
Let's get some new people in for Star Wars. But as of this moment, like. Even like they go into the room where all the witches are dead
in a neat pile.
Yeah, like something happened.
Yeah,
like that wasn't the fire because they could have left, right? And then the Jedi's were there looking for the twins. And like I said, you go to episode two where Torben, before he poisoned himself, was like, "We thought we were doing the right thing." Like I'm really thinking they're gearing up for the Jedi. Fucking right. Slaughtered everybody.
All right,
to get the twins.
I am on board.
And it'll be a question if it was their decision, the four on the ground, or if it was an order from higher up or something. I mean, I think there's so much to it that we'll get. But apparently Star Wars has to be spoon-fed.
I need it all. I need all the exposition right now.
Yeah.
There was another point someone made where during that whole ascension ceremony, there was one figure that was off to the side of everyone, fully robed and hooded, so you couldn't see them.
I'll have to watch again.
I haven't been able to go back yet and see that, but I'm like, huh. I'm like, who the fuck was that?
Interesting.
That and the line a lot of people are jumping on with their pitchforks fully extended is where the mother tells the kids, like, this isn't a galaxy that welcomes women like us. There was a specific line. Everyone was like, oh my God, messaging. Oh my God.
That is a message that's been in movies and shows and media forever.
Gwen Stacy was apparently it was sort of like a trans messaging, or not messaging, but
Ghost Spider. Yeah. But just that idea of like the religious sect, the ghost or the ghost. God damn it!
Sorry.
Yeah. the witches.
You're next.
That line of just like, oh, we're not accepted in general society. Like any media that has that involves like people living in the woods or like in the outskirts or up in the mountains, that's always existed. But now because of the culture wars, that's somehow, you know, you're letting the other side win because they're using a trope that's existed forever.
Mm. So one of the YouTubers that I was watching addressed this line specifically, and he was like, there's no bias in Star Wars. What are you talking about? Like, everyone's accepted. The only thing people didn't like were droids. Because if you go back to episode 4, and it was like, we don't like droids. You know, you don't serve them in bars or whatever. Like, Like, that's the only bias. Like, it's not like the Empire was made completely of humans and, like, the Rebellion was human and then all the aliens. Like, there was bias everywhere in Star Wars. They just didn't, like, outright say it. That shit, like, I was another one that had to immediately click off. I'm like, really? You guys are reaching.
Yeah.
You guys are looking for shit to be outraged by. Mm-hmm. Like, and don't get me wrong, this episode had its fucking issues.
Oh, yeah.
That whole interpretive dance thing, like, that. I was just like, I was giggling the whole time I was watching that.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else enjoy the Kamehameha wave battle when she's, like, practicing having them train?
I like I said last week about, I appreciate that the Force stuff they're doing is not introducing whatever powers they need to fill in. They're using just the old classic Force stuff, but they're showing like how it can be used in different creative ways. And like I think you said earlier about it just being interesting, and that's where I'm at this. Like, this is all interesting. It's all new Star Wars stuff. It's definitely a new exploration of what the Jedi's were and what they can be. And I think it even kind of links into a little bit of what like Yoda and Luke were going through in The Last Jedi. I know, don't fucking mention that movie, whatever.
Do you want to get him mad?
But
setting his cameras and stuff, he's going to piss him off.
And I get it. People, you know, I'm sure people really thought the Jedi were like the most heroic, good people ever. And maybe it sucks to hear this, but it's something that Star Wars has been doing since Disney got it. The Mandalorian touched on the Jedi being the villains, right, in the Mandalorian story.
Right.
Yeah, they were the evil space wizards.
Well, didn't like the episode 1, 2, and 3 also play with that idea that maybe the Jedi weren't correct?
Oh, yeah. Immediately.
So it's been around.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely dogmatic and stuck in their ways and unflexible.
Yeah. I think you and I watched that video where basically they blame Yoda for everything.
Yeah,
there's a YouTube video out there where like Yoda being way too strict on the rules is what kind of led to all this downside. And he's alive during this time period. Mm-hmm. So that's the big question. Is Yoda going to show up and like slap the twins around?
I did hear the director said that she's not going to have him on there.
Stop tying things together.
I think one of the books I read in this era, because I read like a couple of the High Republic books, there's 3 Grandmasters and Yoda's just one of them. So he can, like, I guess they use that so he could, like, not be present for those books because he's off doing whatever Force things he's doing.
Nice.
And the other two are handling business in the temple.
I thought I read somewhere where, like, the purple lightsaber was for grandmasters or something. Have you read anything about that?
I haven't heard that one.
But and there's something about,
she's one of the, like, higher level ones anyway. So.
Yeah. And there's something about them being purple because there's a hint of red or something. I don't know. I half-ass read any of the bullshit stuff I see. It's like, ooh, something about lightsabers. And then you get through the AI jarble at the first 3 paragraphs that's just setting up what Star Wars is. And then you finally find it after 6 ads. And it's like, I don't fucking care anymore.
I got a question about the twins, specifically May. Did you feel like her just saying like, well, but I'll stop you. I'll kill you. Was a little bit too abrupt, or was it seated that she, you know, kind of leaned more?
No, that was weird.
Yeah.
Like, if they leave that like that without any kind of like, you know, like someone said, like this whole thing smells like a Sith plot.
Yeah.
Like they're, you know, doing things to shift perspective and kind of like turn people against each other. And if that's not a part of that, then we're going to have a problem. I'm going to find, what's her name? Leslie Headland.
Oh,
and I'm going to beat the bottom of her feet.
With the chant that they were doing, that chant, it gave me Sith vibes. Like the two, because I remember you telling me about the Sith code or whatever.
The rule of two.
So when they were doing that chant and they were saying whatever they were saying about the two, I'm like, is this like Sith stuff right here that's happening?
So. Well, I mean, think about it. If we're getting into hypotheticals here, at least I am. You guys are going along with
hype.
if you were the Sith in that time period and you wanted to try to like bring back the Sith religion and bring people to your side, like co-opting these like random Force user sects and manipulating them into coming to your side, you know, I think that's a good way to do it. Right? Like, you know, if the shadowy figure, maybe they're the ones that helped with the Immaculate Conception. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, with hopes of getting the twins to be that little, you know, thing. And it worked for May. And then Osha was like, I'll be a Jedi.
Well, I think that's personally the whole idea behind the title of the Acolyte. Because the Sith, well, they're only supposed to be two, like, official, like, in this time period. Mm-hmm. But that don't mean they can't have like a couple of potentials that like, oh, if this one doesn't work, I have these potential ones over here. So
absolutely,
it's always good to have a stable of hoes. Mm-hmm.
Force hoes.
A one hoe man.
Obviously, we're anyway, hyped about that the Acolyte. That was my whole hype over that thing. Like, I watched the episode and I immediately went to YouTube and Google, started searching. I'm like, oh, people are fucking flipping their lids and I need to see it.
It's hard to like save the conversation for the pod because like as soon as I walked in, Jermaine wanted to fucking talk about it. Doug wanted to talk about it. I had to like la 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 the whole time. Like they just wouldn't stop. It's like, you gotta save it for the pod. Sorry, it's why we don't communicate outside of this podcast. Save it for content. I'm really sorry, guys. You know, can't have friendships outside of this thing. Show needs to flourish.
Anyway, that's my stuff.
What the hell are you guys hyped about lately? Rudy, you go.
I did.
Yeah, that was a shared thing. No.
We're still at the beginning of the show.
Yeah, we're still at the beginning. Oh, what are you guys? What are you? Jermaine.
Okay, so I watched this Korean show. Surprise!
I'm not going to say nothing, but...
Called The 8 Show. So it's...
The 8 or the H?
The 8.
The 8.
Oh, so it's like the Ocho.
The number 8.
Okay. The Ocho.
Yeah, the 8 Show.
Let me get through it.
Sorry. So it has... it's not like exactly like Squid Game, but there's something going on. So these 8 people, whatever you want to say, they were just having a bad life, but they... were going to end themselves.
Okay.
But they get chosen.
I'm on board.
Understandable.
And then they go in this room, they pick one of the cards, you know, numbered 1 through 8, and then they're like, go to this place. So they all go. Mm. And then things start to happen. Mm. So you find out that that like there's 8 floors. Mm. The person on the bottom floor is making this much money a minute, you know, like a second or whatever, but everybody that's above you is making more money. Okay. So you find these things out, and then you also find out that, oh, they got to do things to keep the time going, because the longer you stay in here, the more money you make. Hmm. And it's a thing to kind of, because they were going to kill themselves, they had the option to, here's some money, you can take this and go, or you can, you know, take this option and possibly change your life, you know. So as the shows go, you know, goes on, things happen, and then it's kind of playful at first, but then it gets like real evil.
I was about to ask, is it like gory? Is it more suspenseful? It's horror? Just,
so, tongue in cheek. So once they figure out, like, they're like, oh shit, we got to keep doing things, you know, because we want to make this money, and then they realize, oh, These people are making more money than me, you know, that's not fair. And you can kind of buy things, you know, with your money, but it costs a lot of money. But the show made me upset. And it's one of those shows that if asked, oh, would you recommend this to anybody? It was interesting enough, but it just pissed me off because it was... You had the bad people, and then you had the somewhat kind of good people. Hmm. And the good people were just getting shitted on. Like, they were just going through the most.
It's life.
And the bad people were the ones that were doing it, you know, to them. And then once the good people got in control, I wanted the bad people to fucking get it. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted it so bad. But as the show kept going, I'm like... There was like 2 characters. I was like, I just want you to just almost die to that point.
Yeah, you know, bad people never get their fucking comeuppance.
Well, yeah.
It was just one of those things where, as the show ended, I was like, you motherfuckers didn't give me what I wanted. So I was like, I can't recommend this show because of that.
Was it one season out now, or?
Yes, it's only one season. Like, everything's out, And it does end, but it is an interesting show, but it's when you see what these people make, these people do, you're like, damn, I want these people to get theirs too, but they just didn't. And I was like, nah.
Was there any of the things that they were made to do, was there anything that was like surprisingly interesting that you've never seen before or never even thought of?
It's just
no human centipede shit.
No, like it's just people
the
doing
second time
like
it's been brought up this week.
Making people do like evil shit.
Oh.
Kinda.
Is a human centipede not evil?
No.
Sexy.
That's evil, but
sick bastard.
But not in this show. Like they were just playing like almost like kiddie games, but they took it to like another level.
Interesting. Okay.
And they were just making people do some crazy.
So like the tone shifts partway as they like climb up the floor.
Yeah, the tone does shift, and there's a lot of like backstabbing, and you see that there's a team that starts to.
So you ultimately didn't like it.
I didn't. Yeah, pretty much. I didn't like it because of
who got.
You didn't like it. You didn't like it because of the way the story ended. But was it interesting enough to keep your attention the whole way through?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
It was interesting enough, yes, to keep you connected to the show. But while me and Kat were watching the show, and there was just moments that you were going to get. So there's moments where people get things that you're like, oh, fucking finally.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a dream. Like, it was like a fantasy.
Oh, fuck that shit. Fuck that shit.
Haven't they learned from, like, years ago? You know, the show Dallas, where it's like, turns out, you know, the whole JR being shot, it was a dream.
Mm-hmm. It was all a dream.
I was like, nah. I just didn't.
Yeah, that's
they didn't
shit.
Get what they deserved. So
but sometimes that's what makes the show good. It's like when you get so invested and you do kind of hate the results of it because you're rooting for a character or whatever.
That's
a really
good point.
The newest Lost in Space, like I fucking hated Dr. Smith.
Yeah,
like I rarely like get really involved in like disliking a character, but like she.
What a good show, by the way.
Oh, huh? Good show, great show.
I like the way it finished. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think they could have done more, but you know, they final season or whatever. Yeah. I hated her. It was the same thing. It was just like, I hope she gets her.
I'd love to hate her though.
Yeah. Yeah. Great character because of that.
And they're just like, assholes. Like they do asshole shit. I'm like, I was like, fuck, if I was in that show,
still getting
I would
emotional. Fuck you.
If I was in that show, I would beat your ass.
Turn your shit off.
Everybody's getting it. Man, everybody getting it in here.
So that, you said it was similar to Squid Games, which listening to it, it definitely sounds like they got inspiration from Squid Games. And we've seen a few others out there. Alice in Border, right?
Alice in Borderland.
Yeah. I still need to watch the second season of that. Yeah. I know. Is that much in that genre necessary? Is there enough to say within that world of like people that are sad get this chance to kill people to be happy?
Honestly, because Kat started watching like a lot of K-dramas, she's noticing that their culture, like people go through a lot of bad shit, like there's bullying and all kind of stuff, you know, that they deal with and all kind of other things. So,
and they don't got the American solution.
So these shows are kind of like a wish fulfillment thing a little bit, even though sometimes the bullies still win.
Yeah, like. Certain people don't get their just desserts and all that kind of thing, and it's a lot of these shows. I'm also finding out that they're kind of based off of, I guess you would say, like webtoons or you know certain.
I was absolutely going to ask because I have the Wikipedia, and it says that it was based on a Naver webtoon. And I'm like, what the fuck is a webtoon? You mentioned webtoons before. What is
like
a webtoon?
It's like a comic book. Stuff. Like it's almost like a comic book, but it's
like a motion comic type thing, or
no, like it's a comic book that
like Cyanide and Happiness.
You would read online, great stuff. It's almost like the Sunday papers, I guess, that we
like
used
a comic
to get,
strip.
Yeah, that we used to read in like the Sunday paper, but it's just like I guess like a webtoon, you know,
wow,
as in a comic that's online.
Heavy material for a comic strip.
I can see it, though. I mean, a lot of your webtoon stuff was just some guy, like, expressing himself through his little comic that he put out daily or weekly or whatever. Cyanide and Happiness. I used to wake up, and that'd be the first thing I checked. Was their daily comic.
I love that they have shorts now.
I think they eventually, like, changed the format of the website. And I'm like you, where it's like, oh, it's fucking different. Fuck you, fuck you. We erased it from my memory, so I can't even, like, quick find it.
They blew up, though, because I love the sense of humor. But to answer your question, like, do we need... that more in that genre. I think what's so fascinating about it, it's an exploration in, like, the human psyche, if you will, within societal boundaries or whatever, and then they get to explore that. Because what also popped in my head was, you guys ever watch, I think it was like a French movie called The Platform?
Yeah.
Really fucked up.
I think I've heard about it.
Really fucked up.
I never got around to seeing it.
Because it's a great movie.
Yeah, it's really fucked up. The synopsis is there's, like, they don't know how many floors, but, like, you get partnered up, whatever, on a platform, and there's this
big... And they also volunteer for this, right?
Yeah, kind of, sort of, because they don't really know end of everything. But anyways, the short synopsis is there's a big fucking long table of food, like all the goodies and everything. And as it goes down, like, once a day or something like that, it all comes down, and then you grab what you eat, and then, you know,
croissant.
The people that get on the lower floors basically get nothing. But what's really fucked up, it's like, well, if you're in that vacuum, like, how do people act? And it gets really gross. So people are, like, grabbing more than they need, and they're maybe doing stuff to the food that's really disgusting. And
you said, again, this was French?
Yep.
No.
Your American side's really showing today. I'm kidding.
No. I'm saying that makes sense. Going back to how, like, this show is playing off the Korean culture as far as bullying and stuff like that. And, like, this is obviously playing off, like, French hatred towards capitalism. And I think it's a commentary on, like, greed and stuff like that.
It's 100%, 1,000%.
The bourgeoisie.
It was fascinating. You got to watch that. It's
But the twist, what I really liked about that platform, too, was... There's so many levels, and they're all numbered, you know, this floor.
That's
this
right,
floor.
Yeah.
But you can start off on this floor, and you can wake up and you can be like on the bottom of the thing.
Right. Yeah.
Or you can be on the top.
Yeah, so there's things that are thrown in there that really.
And once you get on the bottom, you're like, God damn, those people taking so much on the top, even though they were up there.
It's definitely not a movie that you walk away from going, like, man, I feel pretty good about myself. You're like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I need to watch Happy Tree Friends now. Webtoons.
Oh yeah, that was another good one.
Goddamn, they was even like a not to get off topic, like a series on G4 for a minute. The Happy Tree Friends.
Oh yeah.
Fucking fantastic.
It's kind of fun.
Something's wrong with my brain.
Yeah. Shit like this almost makes me want to go, like, look up all these webtoons, because I wasn't
Yes.
The what is it called?
E-Bombs World.
The one that I didn't finish.
Because you went blank, my mind went blank.
the one with the evil spirits.
Huh?
The Count.
Yeah, I know what you're talking. Yeah, the Count.
It was another...
something counter.
Another Uncanny Counter.
Yeah, Uncanny Counter.
There you go. That was another one that I saw was based off a webtoon. I'm like, what the fuck is a webtoon?
Yeah. Interesting. That's kind of cool. Isaac, what are you hyped about?
You know what? Look, quick mention. Fucking as of this recording, Game of Thrones, the new season of House of Dragons is popping up. Yeah. Father's Day.
I absolutely need to watch, like, a recap, because I don't remember. Oh, was that 6 years ago or something?
Yeah. that's what it feels like.
Yeah.
Like, I know we're spoiled, and I know they're giant budget TV shows that have movie level budgets, and so whatever, and writer strike. I'm like, yeah. I get it. I understand. But I fucking don't care, because I want to stay on board. And in order for me to, like, stay interested, I don't have a list of things I can go back to it. I'm like, no, it's going to leave my brain forever, and I'll forget about it unless you keep on top of it. Like, it's another, again, going off topic, but it's one of the reasons why, like, I'm kind of angry at Rick and Morty for, like, having a long, long hiatus and then finally coming back. I'm like, I lost my interest. It's a great show, but man, it was too long. I know. I'm sorry. I'm fucking sorry. It was one of those first... I've done it with podcasts.
I'll put that in there for you.
I've done it with podcasts, too, where it's like, they keep you on, and they're pumping out on a regular basis, and then they just have this really fucking fat hiatus, and you're like, well, I'm going to fill my time, that time slot in with other stuff. So...
Doesn't Man, what's the character in Rick and Morty, the little yellow dude again?
Mr. Meeseeks? No, Mr. Poopy Butthole.
Yeah. Doesn't he always come at the end, you know, like, oh, well, it's going to be another 2 years, yeah. You know, so whatever you guys do in that time, you know, that's on you, and if you're going to sit there and wait.
But I'm excited for the, I don't know.
Hell yeah.
Do you guys know anything? Oh, no, somebody, one of you guys had said that the internet is equating it to the Red Wedding.
The first episode of the new season is being compared to the Red Wedding.
Well, because it,
the Rachel, last, I'll give you that shout out, Rachel.
There you the go, I'm first, sorry, yeah.
The first season ended with, like, the one dragon getting fucking ripped in half.
Oh, fuck, and like, that's
like,
right.
It ended pretty, like,
that's a solid cliffhanger.
Things got fucked.
It's a really good cliffhanger.
So, things got fucked, other people are going to get fucked. That's how that world works.
The title of that episode is, I believe, is A Son for a Son.
Ooh, oh, shit. Yeah.
So, it's just getting real immediately.
Because
and they need to.
Spinoff shows or whatever are really tough to, like, you know, get hooked into. And, man, like, they did a really good job in this first season. I was like, okay, I'm on board. I like having, like, you know, a Game of Thrones in my life. Unlike shows that don't die, like the fucking Walking Dead. And there's, like, five spinoffs and shit.
See,
you know.
I do
have. It's actually quality stuff.
Eat the Walking Dead. Smell the Walking Dead.
I do have people in my life that they watch Game of Thrones, but they're like, I can't watch this other one because it's not.
It's not the original.
Game of Thrones. It doesn't have my characters. I'm like, oh, you got.
No, yeah. and there's trash. There's always that thing where you're like, all right, let's get to know some of the characters. And I think that they did a fantastic job. We might have even, like, talked about the first season of past episodes, but.
And at least there was, like, the families and stuff that were recognizable. And
can I pose a question?
Sure.
Do you think, do you trust them to tell a cohesive story with a satisfying ending where they know where the. Basically what happens, because all this stuff happens and is, you know, history when Game of Thrones begins. So they pretty much know where it's all going, where it's going to end up. The whole thing is, you know, the twists and turns to get there. Mm-hmm. Do you trust them to do a satisfying conclusion of this as opposed to Game of Thrones where they had no idea how it was going to end? G.R.R.R. Martin still doesn't know. Still hasn't released The Winds of Winter.
Yeah.
But are you more referring to, like, Khaleesi's, like, just flipping script?
I mean, the whole shitty ending of Game of Thrones.
I do feel, like, and I would hope, that they learned their lesson.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting. You think
they learned their lesson? That's what I'm saying, or he's saying, I have trust and hope in them that this time around that they'll do it justice.
Because a big thing for me when they announced it was coming back, I'm like, I don't know. I've been hurt. I don't know if I can give them a heart
That's
again.
That's right. I had a cuddly for a while just to calm me down. Poor guy.
I'm one of the few people that, like, I mean, I wasn't super satisfied with how Game of Thrones ended, but it wasn't like.
I don't think anybody really was.
It didn't, like, break me. I still looked fondly back at that show and everything they did. And, you know, Khaleesi.
I'm about to fucking suicide jump over there right now. Fucking take you with me.
Grabs a nunchucks.
Like I said, I think they tried some stuff. I think everyone, I think they were all done with it at that point. Their heart wasn't in it. They had a season to wrap it up, and they got lazy.
The whole thing behind that, and it could be completely wrong, was that the creators were like, they got tapped to do a Star Wars.
Yes.
And then it fell through. So they kind of like, well, fuck this, because it's Star Wars. Fuck this. Right? But separately, I thought I had heard in an interview with J.R.R. Tolkien. Tolkien that.
Martin. Tolkien was Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
Well, fuck. God damn it. Can we dub in me saying the correct thing?
No, absolutely.
I still haven't gotten mine.
We're actually gonna, like, have you saying Tolkien, and then we're gonna just repeat it, slow it down, repeat it with the black and white.
Rightfully so.
Tolkien.
I think I remember him saying,
"Oh, I'm frozen."
That.
Oh no! When did that happen?
I don't know.
Jesus Christ.
Oh no.
See, that's what happens when you say you like the ending of Game of Thrones.
Whoa! Okay.
Just
sorry.
Happened.
Technical difficulties, but I think we're back.
I didn't like that. A little.
I think my left nipple is a little higher than the right one now.
My third nipple's really erect.
Came through a little different.
As I was saying before that weird technical difficulty, George R.R. Martin had to pull it up because my bad. You'll cut this out later, right, Rudy? in an interview, him addressing the ending of Game of Thrones and how nobody really liked the way everything fucking happened, he essentially said, and I'm paraphrasing, is if it sounds like the butler's going to do it and it looks like the butler's going to do it, then the butler did it. Like, don't change it around. Everything's, that's the whole thing with storytelling. You're dropping all of these seeds and Easter eggs and whatever the fuck else. The ending, not necessarily is going to be predicted, but
everything should make sense leading up to it.
There you go.
Yeah. I think a lot of times Hollywood and these TV makers and stuff, TV show makers, like get excited about the idea of the twist. And I can understand because we do live in this world of speculative writing and all, especially in the nerd shit, in the nerd realm. Like everyone starts this whole Reddit threads and Twitter X things or whatever, dedicated to like trying to guess what's going to happen or whatever. So I can understand the excitement to be like, you know what? Let's twist it. Let's give them something they're not expecting. And that's generally just going to piss everyone off.
Have you seen the table reads when the actors are doing the table read?
No.
Yeah. Oh man, Emilia Clarke's face and Jon Snow
on the last season, you mean,
Kit
right?
Harington.
Kit Harington, yeah, their faces are like, yep, like we don't like it. And even like on red carpet when they're like, oh, so how was this this last? How do you like the ending of the season? She's like, it's a show. She's very expressive. She couldn't hide it for nothing.
Yeah. I did hear that Martin wanted, or he went to HBO. And he asked them, he's like, can you make it one more season? So don't wrap it. Can you make it one more season? But they didn't. So it's just one of those things. And then I think the other George, but
Michael
Lucas, he recently came out and said in some article or some interview.
You heard it here. George Lucas came out.
that he said that when studios get properties and these writers come on to write these stories, they take it on as their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't keep it true to the story. You know, they take it and make it their own thing. And he says that they kind of got to stop doing that.
I think I read an article where R.R. Martin said the same thing. He was like, have you ever heard...
Maybe it was him. Maybe,
have you ever heard of a story that got better when a fucking showrunner director made it their own? It's good. Like this is what the people wanted on, you know, in the translation. Mm-hmm. But no, these motherfuckers come in and I'm like, I'm gonna make it my own. Like, no, it doesn't have to be your own. It's its own thing already.
And we've talked about this in the adaptation episode, but bears repeating that. Yes, I understand having some creative differences to make it adaptable for the small screen or big screen. But when you're making major fucking story changes like that, you're like, you're going to piss people. Like, why? Where do you get off thinking they could fucking do this shit with that season?
I would argue, though, that Khaleesi's change was not completely out of the blue. I mean, her whole story arc was basically her going from, this like almost childlike idea of running a government and like and then like throughout the seasons she realized what it takes in that world to run, and like they were constantly kind of chipping away at her idealism of like this freedom and, mm-hmm. and everything, and like and then finally it culminated and it's like, you know what, fuck it, no, this is how you rule. But I mean, I think they were kind of building up to maybe not that drastic. It still threw me off and it still very much upset me because I was really looking for it. But it wasn't, to me, it wasn't out of the blue. I think it was just that final tipping point.
I just wish that it didn't necessarily happen right there in that moment. But at the same time, if it did, can we throw in like a little like mental breaks, like, flashes in her head, you know, just to
interesting
get it, you know, a little bit more oomph.
Yeah.
So ultimately, I hope that the House of Dragons doesn't do that with the second season. Because then I think then, per your being like, I got hurt once, then I will be done. Fool me once!
Because they have, like, what, two more spinoffs in the works?
I thought one got canceled, but then, yeah, they picked up. There's been a few that have gone, like, dropped and then picked up and new ones or something. I think there's an animated, isn't there?
Are they still supposed to be doing the John?
I think the Jon Snow one got... Axed.
Yeah, that one I haven't heard of. The Hedge Knight is the one that I heard got picked up.
Oh, yeah. Hmm.
But yeah, they only have this one last chance.
Yeah. It is. I do appreciate Game of Thrones because I think even more than sci-fi, like fantasy is scary for people. Like they don't generally want to watch fantasy stuff.
Yeah.
And so I am happy that Game of Thrones brought people into that, like, there's a little bit of magic and there's dragons. Like it's enough.
A whole lot of family fucking and also killing.
Yeah, yeah. Which I guess maybe that's what you need to do. It's like take Lord of the Rings, but put some fucking sexual doggy style in the first episode. Sorry, you're good.
I more riff that, but more specifically the killing though. Like no character safe. I felt like it was relatively new for like shows that we were all invested in.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And like you know, the whole Red Wedding. I'm like, what? You can kill characters that you care about off. No one's safe. You know,
yeah, that's we'll make any show, and maybe that's why comic book movies and shows suck.
Doug,
yeah, what about you, Doug?
What are you hyped about?
What are you hyped about?
Oh, I got a lot. Well, real quick,
and that's it. Same hype.
Same hype. Nine and a half feels. Yeah, I know. So last weekend I went to IGN Live. It was the first time IGN, which is like a nerd website. It's been around forever. Some people hate it. Some people don't. Whatever. I still genuinely like IGN. So this year they did their first like live thing, and it was really cool. It was relatively cheap. I got a lot of free stuff, and it wasn't that packed, which I was afraid of. Because when I looked up, I was afraid that it was going to be. Because when I looked up the venue, I was like, oh, that's not that big. What are they going to do? But yeah, no, it wasn't that packed. They had like a game section where you could walk in, and I've been to these kind of cons before. It's like, hey, demo our games. And it's usually kind of like waiting in line or you have the developer like breathing down your neck as you play, which is fun. But, I mean, sometimes it's interesting. Sometimes the developers like have a lot of great stories and insights to tell you. This one, the developers were there, but they were a little like kickback. I only had a couple that kind of walked me through some things, but for the most part, I was able, if I wanted to play a game that was out, I could pretty much just walk up to it. And I played some ones that I was, some games that I was very excited to finally try, like Squirrel with a Gun, which has been in development for a while. Where you
Squirrel with a Gun?
Yes.
Fuck
you,
yeah.
You play as a squirrel with human guns. And so part of the mechanics is you use the guns to like jump. It's like you get like a little Uzi and you gotta like, and you like fly across like the thing. You're like escaping from a lab or something like that. That was cool. I finally got to try Dungeons of Hinterberg, which is a new game coming to Xbox and Steam. It's kind of like a Zelda-ish in style or in game mechanic style, but then the setting is kind of modern. You have like a hoverboard and stuff. And then beyond the gaming, yes, exactly. Scroll the gun. It's amazing.
Fucking great.
Beyond the gaming, there was like live tapings, a lot of their shows. And I got to meet Sydney Goodman. I got to do a little teleprompter reading of like the fix, which is one of the
really
little
good things.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Traitor.
Yeah. So like,
I still just be like screaming into the mic. While I was watching, I think I was like, drop Hypertech. Fucking do it.
I needed him to do the witness me. Well, and so then
originally I was going to do that with Sydney Goodman, like, cause she was there doing that with people. And I was the first person that they decided that there wasn't enough time. So I just took the photo with her. Oh. But so I was getting nervous about doing it with her, but then I went back in line to do it by myself. But I had to remind myself, like, don't say hype attack. Like, even though there was a teleprompter, like, you know, I was like,
did they use it in anything or it was just no. Do you want to do it? Probably.
Yeah. That's yeah. Fun. Just, I mean, we had to sign a waiver. So maybe they'll post it somewhere, but it was still cool. I liked that. And then some of the panels were interesting. They had some of the cast from the Borderlands movie coming out, and Eli Roth was there, and he's hilarious. Definitely someone I want to pay more attention to. Yeah, Johnny Rico himself, because there's a new Starship Troopers game coming out that anyone that's in the gaming world obviously has heard of Helldivers 2 at this point, which everyone immediately compared to Starship Troopers. So now that there's an official Starship Troopers game coming out, a lot of people are kind of like, oh, is there a reason for it? But it is going to be different. There's going to be like base building, and then some of the game mechanics as far as like the bugs actually pile up, so you can actually like climb up the bugs as you kill them, or you can get buried in them. I think that's really cool. And the guy that plays Johnny Rico, Casper Van Dien, loves it. He loves being Johnny Rico. He came out there and he said all the lines.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah, and he was saying, like, yeah, people will yell the lines to him and he'll just yell them right back. Like, he loves it. Yeah,
that's a classic movie. Like, that's definitely a cult classic. For sure.
You mean people don't recognize him in all of his other roles? Did he?
Apparently, he's done a shit ton of movies. I was listening to Michael Rosenbaum's podcast, Inside of You.
Yeah.
He had Casper Van Dien on recently, and I was listening to that, and he asked him, he's like, do you ever get tired of all the references to Starship Troopers? And he was like, no, I fucking love it.
Yeah.
He was like, how rare is it to be in a movie that just penetrates the psyche of people that they see you walk down the street, they're like, Rico. He's like, he was talking about being in some kind of panel with like Quentin Tarantino and friends, like Eli Roth and like a bunch of directors like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, I was in that group, and all they wanted to talk about was Starship Troopers. he was nerding out, like, oh, I want to, you know, ask you all these questions. And they're like fucking Paul Verhoeven, Starship Troopers, like the whole thing. Like they wanted to know about that movie and like how it was working with that director. And he's like, I should have expected it because they're all film nerds, like first and foremost. Mm-hmm. But like he's really cool about it.
Yeah,
I like that.
It was fun. The other panel that I went to was they had the director of John Wick. His name was hard to say. I'm not going to try.
Is it a Paul something?
You're going to look up. It's going to be like Paul Smith. But that was super interesting because we went through a scene. We all had to vote on which scene we wanted to watch, and we all picked John Wick's first fight with Kane in John Wick 4, played by Donnie.
Donnie
Yen, yeah. God, I've been saying that name all week because I've been telling the story all week.
Was the director Chad Stahelski?
Yes. Who used to be a stuntman himself. So that was
cool.
It was certainly like a really cool panel to go to because not only do you get directing stuff, you get stunt stuff.
Yeah.
I think someone asked him about CG and surprisingly, because at the moment it was surprising, but after he said it makes a lot of sense, he said he loves CG.
Yeah.
And his reasoning was it allows them to do more practical stunts. Like he was saying about like getting hit by a car, you used to have to go like 10 miles an hour.
Mm-hmm. And you sell the stunt more.
Yeah. Well, you know, saying now you can go like 20, 25 because you can just CG out all the pads.
Mm-hmm.
Like you put more padding on the ground on everything and then you just edit it out and you can start hitting, you know, start doing way more things. The wires are easier to take out so you can start really throwing people around. But going back, so we were breaking down that scene with John Wick versus Kane, and he was saying that I guess they originally had some like 90-second sword fight planned out, and they did a cut. John Wick and Donnie Yen's character like going at it. They're like, all right, let's reshoot, and they started redoing it. I guess Donnie Yen just like fucking turboed, and just like to the point where Keanu Reeves just ran away, and came back and was like, yeah, John Wick can't beat this guy, not in a sword fight. So they redid the scene where John Wick is spending most of it running away trying to shoot him.
Yeah, because in that movie, like I was like, oh, Keanu Reeves is feeling it's he's looking his age, he's acting his age now. Yeah. He's
how dare you?
And Donnie is a badass.
He's a fucking badass.
Yeah, and you know they asked him about like the idea that Donnie Yen had just played a blind swordsman in Rogue One.
Time casting.
And if there was like any, you know, pause to making him play that character again, basically, or that type of character. And he said no. And then at the end of that scene, Donnie Yen fought, or Kane fought the Japanese guy that was in Shogun. And I don't remember his name as the actor.
Sorry.
Or his character's name. But he was saying that was kind of interesting because they both are really good swordsmen, but different styles. And then to try to get those two styles to work cinematically.
Mm-hmm.
In a scene was a little difficult, but those two are professionals and they got it to work and everything like that. So that was my experience with IGN Live. I hope they do it again next year. It was a blast. My throat started hurting from all the hooting and hollering because it's, you know, live taping. So if you're standing there, they're just like, okay, when we come back, everyone needs to scream.
Yeah.
And it's like, ah! And they were handing out like, at first it was like, oh, here's some t-shirts, here's some things. And then they just like randomly pull out, here's a Darth Vader statue. You're yelling a lot. I mean, there was huge was fucking, prizes.
Why is it not dead center of the table?
And mostly it's combusted. And like, oh, give it to me. Yeah.
They were giving those mostly to the people up front. And me being a giant, I never like make my way to the front. Because if I was there, like all their live tapesing would just fed like my head. Like... Like, just, and I'd be like, everybody,
that's the content I want to see.
Yeah. Yeah. It would have been a meme of just like, who's head guy?
Yeah. Hey, man, that's what happens. We need.
I would have done like PR. Weird like hand motions. Like, everyone scream.
Hey! If you were in the front, dude. And you were that tall, they would have gave you something for you to go to the back. Yeah.
What do you want? What do you want? I want the fucking Cyberpunk Edge Runners jacket that I missed out on. I was like walking up and I'm like, what are they tossing on? Oh, motherfuck, I wanted that. I did catch one like sweater and I looked at it and I was like, that's too fucking small. So I gave it to someone next to me.
Jermaine could have fit in it.
Yeah.
What is this?
I didn't want to carry something around. That is D.Va's from Overwatch. That is her mech, but I think that's the Porsche. Like, they did a collab with Porsche, they made, like, a Porsche version of her D.Va mech.
Very fucking cool.
Yeah, yeah, they only had, like, a couple statues. They had that and, like, the Elden Ring egg thing that was kind of creepy. And
you said you got the whole VIP package thing?
Yeah, it was, like, $55 for the three-day VIP pass, and it came with, like, it's a free hat, a free T-shirt.
You got full 3 days?
I didn't go Sunday. I was going to, but, again, my throat was kind of hurting at that point, and something came up, and I was like, all right, I got 2 days of this.
Man.
Where was it held this year? I mean, sorry, this year. Where was it held?
It was at called the Magic Box, which is like a venue inside the Reef. It's in downtown Los Angeles. Okay. If you've ever driven on like the 5 or the 101 even, you might see like a building off to the south that's got like an amazing wraparound TV on the top that's super bright and super high def.
Yeah.
That's the Reef. Huh. Yeah, when I pulled up to it, I was like, oh, I'm going to be in that building that I point at. Because this TV is like...
that I point at.
Because we've like hiked like the Hollywood Hills hike or Runyon Canyon, and you'll still see it. You'll be like, oh, there's that fucking building. Like, that TV is so high def. Anyway, the other thing I'm hyped about... Mm. I mean, sorry, unless you guys have more questions about that.
No, keep going.
Is Absolute Power, DC Comics' new summer blockbuster comic. I haven't really been reading comics in a long, long time. And I've told myself, like, I want to get back into it. And I was like, this moment, because I think this story is going to lead into DC's first attempt at, like, a Marvel's Ultimate. Like, I think DC is planning on doing an alternate story that's in that same idea of Marvel's Ultimate universe. And I think this is the story that leads into it. I could be wrong. You know, take your hype facts. Yeah, look it up. But Absolute Power, I'm very stoked for. They did a really cool, like, animated trailer for it.
Oh, that's the one he sent me, right? That was really cool.
No, so I have to preface this, because on record here on the show, I have said that I don't like...
There you go. I was waiting for it.
Yes. But I realized I don't like movies and shows where they take away the hero's powers.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's this setup, is that the Trinity of Evil, which is Amanda Waller, Failsafe, and the Brainiac Queen, I'll get into that, basically steal the Justice League's powers and some other villains' powers and heroes' powers. I think it's exciting in comic books when that happens, because comic books come out like 3 a month for a character, where you get years of stories with them, with their powers, and you see it, and then... Because also the comic books exist in a much, much larger shared universe. When they take away Superman's powers, like, he's still there as a guiding thing. And then it allows other characters to kind of take
the
spotlight. And again, we've gotten enough. When a movie, like, if we get a Superman movie every 5 years and they decide to do one where he doesn't have his powers, fuck that. Like, we only get one every 5 years. Like, I mean, there That's is certainly point. An interesting story to tell of a powerless Superman. But that, I feel like that only works if we're getting one like every year, you know. But if we have to wait so long in between them, like, I want to see Superman like at his peak, fighting his best villain, right? Like, that's the whole point of a movie.
Yeah.
Like, you can't have powerless Superman like stopping crime. I mean, there's still a story to be told. But
we already got Smallville where he couldn't fly.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah.
But it's still a great show.
Seen it.
I know, because you're trash.
So real quick, so the Trinity of Evil, Amanda Waller, we all know she leads Suicide Squad. I don't know why all of a sudden she decided that she wants to like wipe out crime using, I think she's going to use like Amazo robots, which Amazo is a villain. Anyone that's familiar with the Justice League.
I love
Amazo. Amazo, he was a guy that basically embodied all of their powers, right?
Yeah, learns it.
So right. I think in this, they're going to use individual, like, Amazo robots to have, like, this one's going to be, like, the Superman Amazo. This one's going to be a Green Lantern Amazo. That's what I'm gathering from some of the pictures. Mm. So, again, I don't know why Amanda Waller suddenly went this extreme. I'm going to try to read some of the, like,
she's probably tired of all
leading
this shit.
Up to it. Yeah, maybe. And then Failsafe. Do you guys know Failsafe? Mm-hmm. I had to look them up.
So, it's funny. I just listened to a YouTube video about what's happening in the Batman comics right now.
Mm-hmm.
I got the explanation for Failsafe and Batman and his backup personality,
Zurinar.
So, and like the guy was going into it, he's like, yeah, Zurinar or Failsafe is developing Amazo tech. And I'm like, oh, I didn't know that all that was leading into this absolute power thing.
I think the Superman stories, which was like the House of Brainiac, I think that's leading into this. And then, yeah, the Batman stuff. So Failsafe. So we've talked about the Batman of Zurinar before on this show, I think in the Batman episode. So Zurinar is this like split personality that Batman uses like when shit gets crazy, right? He basically has to disassociate and he becomes this alternate personality. That personality, the Zurinar, decided that Batman would be too scary and, you know, if he went rogue. So developed this android, Failsafe, to basically take on a rogue Batman. And then, like, did whatever split personality stuff. So Bruce Wayne, real Batman, wouldn't remember that it was made. And then so at some point, the Penguin, I guess, fakes his own death and blames Batman. And everyone believes it, that Batman killed the Penguin, which triggers Failsafe. Because now Batman's gone rogue. And then so Failsafe comes and just wipes the floor with fucking everyone. I've looked at it a little bit. Like, he stabs Superman with a kryptonite sword. And, like, it takes everyone to bring down Failsafe. And that was, like, Failsafe 1.0. Now Failsafe is working with Amanda Waller and, yeah, doing all this crazy stuff. So, again, like, I love comic books because you can get into those, like, wild, like, backstories of a villain. Which, again, movies and shows, like, will never have the history and time.
No, at all.
To do something like that. Like, they couldn't introduce the Batman of Zurinar.
Could you imagine them, like, Gunn just being like, yeah, we're gonna do that. Yeah. And people would freak their fucking lit. Like, normies would just be like, what the fuck?
With the Star Wars crawl.
Let me tell you,
Batman sometimes uses this alternate person. It just reads like a nerd explaining it.
If Rebel Moon had Anthony Hopkins essentially doing like a verbal scroll, I think you can get Morgan Freeman to fucking do this.
That'd be cool. It's like, you guys think you know Batman, but sometimes, and then you like, he just burst out in the weird purple and red.
Turns out that was more to Batman than meets the eye. And then just like fucking, let's do it. Come on, Hollywood. Let the hype attack write some shit.
It's weird because
death threats.
in the recap that I was watching, somehow Zurinar Batman's personality is downloaded into Failsafe.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. See, I thought I saw someone reference that. So okay.
So like that. So that android slash, you know, alternate personality Batman thinks he's like the real deal, and he's going to, you know, he's going to stop crime completely.
Yeah,
because Batman's too soft. He's going to fail. Agreed. But he's still going to do it without, you know, killing everyone, apparently. I don't know. He still has, like, a moral code, but it's a little more extreme. But he's still, like, very rigid on that. Like, I'm not going to kill people.
Just, you know, bring him to that brain.
Because he's supposed to be the fail safe against Batman going rogue and just, you know, murdering people everywhere. So
yeah. he can't because it's stop like RoboCop, like
he still has
thing.
A prime directive that he can't.
Yeah.
And I know he's made a new Robin, which I think is just a clone of Bruce. So I think he cloned Bruce Wayne to make a new Robin.
I'd
seen that.
Yeah. And so, like, I think in the story, in the comics right now, like, Damian and Tim are trying to take down this, like, new Robin. And, yeah, so they've been doing so much. I have so much to try to catch up on before. Wow. Absolute Power starts in July.
So they're fighting Terry McGinnis?
It starts in July. I use the DC Infinite Ultimate app or whatever, and so I'll start reading it a month later, and so I have some time to catch up on things. The other part of the Trinity of Evil is the Brainiac Queen, which I know very little about other than they introduced her in this House of Brainiac story that Superman did. What I did see was, I guess part of the story was Lobo found a bunch of his people, I think, in like a bottled city on Brainiac's ship, because, you know, Brainiac captures cities and puts them in bottles.
Yeah.
And so he actually had like an army of his people, you know, and we all know Lobo's, like, his race are, like, basically immortal. They're badasses, other than Lobo killed them all up until this way. Anyway, so when Brainiac introduced the Brainiac Queen, she killed them all. So she's a badass.
Damn.
Like, Brainiac gave some speech about, like, oh, you know, when I first saw you, like, I thought you guys were immortal, but then Lobo killed you all, so there is a way or something, and then Brainiac was like, snick, snick.
So we have...
It was, like, 2 pages of just, like, her basically weed-whacking him.
So you have these, like, two highly powered, overpowered villains.
Yeah.
And then Amanda Waller.
Yeah.
Okay.
She's Amanda fucking Waller.
Master of red tape.
Yeah.
Well, bureaucracy! Fill this form in triplicate!
Yeah.
No!
Maybe she put bombs in their heads.
My only question is, so they're depowering everyone, like... Are they making Batman, like, fat and have a low IQ? Is that how you depower?
I was joking with my cousin that the subtitle of this should be, like, Batman's got it.
When I see that group shot, I see Batman looking like, welcome.
Yeah. I mean, sure, Batman, like, he's obviously going to have to, like, step up.
It's just another Tuesday for me.
Yeah. Wonder Woman will probably, like, she obviously still has her fighting skills and everything like that. Mm. Oh, and the big thing, because everyone fucking touches themselves so much over it, the excitement for it is Superman's gonna be in his black suit again. It's not that big fucking deal. I don't know. I just think back to all the Justice League stuff when it was like, are we gonna see Superman in the black suit? Oh my god. And so when they release this, I just imagine like 50,000 nerds just fucking coming.
Should have worn his brown pants.
Because that thing is still crazy to me.
Really committed to that.
Not even drunk. I already
saw him in his black suit.
I haven't drank since like Sunday.
He had that dream in the movie. I'm like, we kind of already saw it. But anyways.
It's still such a big deal. Like, I don't understand it, but whatever.
But no mullet, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, no power mullet.
Damn bastards.
So it's paralyzed in the mullet.
I mean, it is cool, and it makes sense. He's out because in that trailer that they dropped, like, Superman gets shot and, like, hurt, so it makes sense to go back to the black suit. Because didn't that help him heal or something? Like, it absorbed the sun more, some Kryptonian tech. I don't know.
I mean,
just write shit as you go.
Black naturally absorbs.
Yeah,
heat and light within, you know, light color glow. So
yeah. So I mean, at the end of the day, like, it is interesting them being depowered and facing essentially not only depowered, like, their powers have been stolen. So they've shown, like I was saying, the Amazo bots with, like, the Green Lantern ring and all these powers. So there is a bit of, like, all right, how they're gonna get themselves out of this one, which I think makes for an interesting read versus, like, the usual, like, how they're gonna get themselves out of this one. I don't know, laser beams and fist pumps, punches.
speaking of comics, has the final issue of Godzilla Kong versus Justice League dropped yet?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't been keeping up on a lot of comics. So the DC app finally, I don't know when they did it, but I just finally noticed it, that they've actually put release dates on it, everything, which, like, for the longest time, I just kind of stopped using the app because I just couldn't tell, okay, what's the most recent one? Because they would just list, like, here's some new releases, but it included stuff that was just added to the app. Mm-hmm. So it could still be some 10-year-old story or 5-year-old stories. It's just now getting released on the app. And so that was all listed under new releases. Mm. Now there's actual, like, release dates on it. It's like, okay, cool. This is the one from, like, this May. Like, this is the latest.
I need you to read the last one.
Okay.
I need you to read it quickly.
Just right now?
Just so we can react to it.
Are you talking about a certain thing about King Kong?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'll have to get to it.
Right?
That shit, I was like, what the fuck?
What?
Hey,
it's awesome, though.
It's comics, baby. To me, I love it.
Yeah. I was like, yeah.
Did he end up with a Green Lantern ring? I thought I saw a spoiler of that or something.
I don't know. Could be.
Okay. Me neither.
Yeah, that's how comics work.
Yeah.
That's my favorite thing about the Green Lantern ring is I feel like anytime they do an alternate universe, it's like, all right, who do we get the ring to? Mm-hmm. Who's going to get it? Mm-hmm. Santa Claus? Fucking, let's do it. That'll help them. Like, yeah.
The way that trailer was produced, it was really fucking cool. I'm like, do they do comics like that? Voice acting and sound effects?
It would be interesting. I mean, it would cost too much.
It was really well done.
Yeah, they've been really... What we're talking about is they did an animated trailer of a comic book. So it was still just... It was images from the comic book, but they use a little like AI and photoshopping and sound effects and creative like cutting and layering full of on it.
Music, do, sound design.
Yeah. You do have certain fans when they do like comic reviews, you know, of certain comic arcs or something like that. Sometimes they'll animate the panels and things, you know, to actually, you know, get you hooked to it more.
They call them motion comics, and I've seen a couple of YouTube, like I've gone on a couple of deep dives, and I'm like, oh shit, he's like just in that same style where they kind of animate the thing, and you know, characters kind of like they're cut out, but they fly in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so it seems like it's like in action. I'm like, oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, there's a lot of potential to something like that.
I would totally watch series like that for you know.
Oh yeah.
For regular comics.
Yeah.
Get on that.
The hype attack.
Speaking of comics and animation, I haven't watched it yet. Is the Watchmen animated movies released a trailer today?
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to watch it still.
They did. I did just recently watch. I'm gonna get this wrong, but the part one, the DC animated movie of
Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, Infinite Crisis.
Or Crisis on Infinite Earths, right? I think it was the original. Crisis on Infinite Earths. Yeah, yeah, I still need to watch that.
I need part two now.
I still haven't watched that. That's been out for a while, hasn't it?
Yeah, part one has been out for a little while.
I think it was out for like to buy or something. Like, is it out to just stream now? Or
yeah, when I saw like
the free stream
$20.
I'm like,
yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah, that might be worth watching.
We've mentioned animated stuff before, or like, you know,
DC's animated stuff is top notch.
That's exactly it. Like, I want to see a lot more of DC animated movies, and maybe not necessarily shows, but movies, just because they have the whole self-contained, you know.
Yeah, we're not getting them anymore. James Gunn axed them all. No, I think they did just announce that the beginning of the DCU, which will be Creature Commandos, which is an animated show. I think that comes out December of this year. And that's like the beginning of the DCU, though they've said Superman's supposed to be the beginning of it, even though this is coming out first. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
James Gunn doing his thing.
I trust him. Let him cook.
Yeah. As long as it's not the nipple jokes.
Me nipples.
My nipples.
What else are you guys hyped about?
Everything.
Yeah. We have more to the list. We have time for more of the list.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're roughly an hour
and 20.
I mean, with the... we're close. We're around an hour, so.
All right, well, I'll break mine down right quick. Very interested in the movie A Quiet Place Day One.
Oh.
I really want to see that. I'm a fan of that franchise. And Alien Romulus.
Oh my god.
I definitely want to see that.
I am so happy that they're going back to like a horror vibe.
Yeah.
I've never felt more uncomfortable than seeing the fucking facehugger tentacle
feeding
like into that guy's mouth in that trailer. Gosh, I was I was like, sorry, no.
It's really suggestive when you do that on camera without an actual facehugger. Like,
That's getting
future trip. Rudy gonna like, have to animate some shit.
There's such a thing as too deep.
Never heard.
Isn't this? I could be wrong, but isn't this movie supposed to take place in between the first Alien and Aliens 2?
Sure.
It's like certainly. I think it's certainly ignoring some of the later stuff.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And
I saw a tagline that said it was like it's supposed to be like half Alien and half Aliens, like in its vibe.
Okay.
Like it's still that horror, but Space Marine, like
decades before Aliens.
Okay. Was it Aliens where it was like, we're not going to make it? Is that movie?
Game over, man.
Game over, man. Yeah.
Bill Paxton, like, great.
Yeah,
Bill
Paxton. That we're not going to make it. Wasn't that the Steven Seagal movie? Kurt Russell?
Probably.
In the plane.
Can I jump on a movie thing? Like, movies are coming out?
No, sure. Shut up. It's Rain turn.
Going on. But that was, so, Quiet Place, Alien Romulus, and then because of the casting of Superman Legacy, how, you know, we're supposed to get Guy Gardner,
Nathan Fillion,
yeah,
Fillion Stakes,
Hawk Girl, Mrs. Terrific,
Isabella Merced,
and metamorpho, like,
oh yeah, everybody.
I'm just interested to see like how everything is gonna just
feel
like just lock into place, because I don't have a doubt in my mind that James Gunn can't do it, because I've seen, you know, just watching him work with Guardians of the Galaxy, like he can handle like a squad. Mm-hmm. But it's just going to be very interesting to see this cast in this movie. So that necessarily has me hyped, and then of course to see where it goes after that. But those are my probably for now anyways, like my top three things that I'm talking about.
I really don't think we're going to get them as a squad. I mean, I hope not, because that's not really a team up. Yeah, like that's not a team that's existed.
I agree.
Yet.
I don't think it's going to be a squad, but what I really meant was just him being able to write characters and just have a solid story. I just think it's going to be interesting to see where these characters are going to, you know, end up in this movie, and how he's going to use them. Mm-hmm. and how everything's going to just establish itself to push us forward.
There, not to like turn this into a James Gunn speculation.
Well, it already is. There you go, Doug. Just go for it.
I mean, I heard like how many characters were going to be in it, I instantly kind of assumed like, all right, Guy Gardner, Green Lantern, like he might just be there in the beginning to get his ass kicked by the villain. Right? You know, and even like, and then some of the other characters like Hawkgirl, like, because I know James Gunn wants to like hit the ground running with, this is an established universe. It's not going to, we're not going to replay this whole like, what are superheroes? So I can totally see just all of these heroes that they've talked about kind of being like quick scene, quick background establishing.
Evidence. Like, evidence to that, by the way, when Nate Fillion is in a James Gunn movie, it's like, here's my buddy Nate Fillion. It's never like, no, you're in a full role.
Yeah, so I'm sure they'll totally make a joke like of like, oh, the Green Lantern's here. Oh,
it's gonna be Superman like calling all points to the Justice League, and it's gonna be like a vid window of all these characters, and be like, sorry, we're busy fighting over here.
And it'd be that.
Yeah, but look, they were all in the movie.
Yeah, there's certainly that kind of potential. Thing. I mean, because I think one thing to establish Superman, even though the audience know who Superman is, but I think a great way to establish Superman's power is just like showing like some powerful heroes, and then you show them getting their ass kicked, and then Superman saves the day. Yeah. Like, it's a great way to do it. And if you bring in these characters, and
I hope he's watching everybody get their ass beat as he's putting on his boots.
Yeah.
That's what happened in that dramatic entrance. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
But you mentioned A Quiet Place.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm just imagining like the first 15 minutes of the movie is just all these characters getting their ass kicked, and they just keep like panning back, and he's sitting there like making his coffee, and he's not zipper? In super speed.
Could you get my, this is really hard.
Like they gotta have like his cat running around to establish that he's not in super speed, like getting his zipper, like fucking aliens, like, yeah,
he has a closet of like capes. They're all the same, but he's like,
yeah.
Then now you're in this one.
They're all labeled Monday through Sunday.
They have cape again.
He'd have to like pull out the suit that doesn't have the undies. It's like, oh, that was a bad idea. or like the one with the collar. Oh, that was a horrible idea.
What was I thinking?
The one with nipples. That's gonna be Gunn's only nipple reference.
Yeah,
no joke.
Yeah, hopefully.
But with A Quiet Place, I think I mentioned before, like A Quiet Place 2, I was excited for, and then it just turned into like a, let's do all of these normal things, but let's do them quietly. And I was like, it's kind of played out. That movie annoyed me, and I'm excited to see this one, you know, to see where it all began. Yeah. But then I'm like, well, where can the story go? You know what I mean? It's a really strong cast. Mm-hmm. I love John Krasinski, but is he doing this one? Is he writing this? No, I don't know.
I
have to look that up. Sorry. But I'll watch it. Mm-hmm. But I don't really have high expectations.
I still haven't watched the second one because I kind of feared the same thing.
I haven't watched any of them.
Oh, trash. The first one's really weird.
I'm just more so interested in it because of the first one, more so because, you know, everybody already had to walk around quiet. They knew these things were there. But now we're getting a movie where this is when they come, you know, and they're here, and you're going to see a lot more chaos, and, you know, people get taken out. But it's also because I like that that other movie, Battle Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. Have you guys seen that?
By the way, director Michael Sarnowski is for the Quiet Place Day One.
So
who developed the story with John Krasinski? So yeah, it's still in the creator's hands.
You're adorable, John Krasinski.
So that's more so why
Mike Wazowski.
I'm excited about this movie. Anything that has to do with aliens and the invasion or something like that, like I'm there. So
well, like this, like you were saying, like in the previous Quiet Places, they knew the rules. Mm-hmm. In this one, it's going to be that learning process. Yeah. Which think about it. Like how much noise do you make throughout the day that you know, I mean, it's one thing to sit there and be like, no, don't knock on the door. Yeah. But then you, like me, like just getting up or like standing up and be like, everyone be quiet. It's like, all right, everyone get up and go. I'd be like, oh, no. Yep.
I would say, I'd be done in the first minute of the film.
I grunt constantly. Yeah. Like, no, like,
everybody wants to be quiet. Just arthritis, it's clicking and popping. You're done for.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, how sensitive is their hearing?
No, but definitely watch the first one, though.
Yeah, like
I would put that on your list.
Sometimes
I have like a nervous or like bored snapping. Like if I'm out and like don't know what to do with my hands, I'm like.
Well, that was the magic of the first one. Was like there was a little bit of flashback, so you can be like, yeah, get it, you know, and just like that self-contained story and the whole thing.
And there was barely any dialogue.
Yeah,
because they had to be quiet. Dialogue.
It's called Quiet Place,
which all movie theaters should be.
It was really cool though when everybody actually shut the fuck up. It was great. But with this one, it's kind of that thing where you go, do I need an origin story? What I was gonna say was from the trailers themselves, per like learning the rules and stuff. Mm. The recent trailer came out. I'm like, oh, it looks like they kind of learned the rules. They figured that shit out really fast. So we'll see. I'm going to watch it and we'll see how it turns out.
I thought the same thing. I'm curious how they figured that out really quick.
Great cast, though. I like the cast. I mean, the other one didn't have a problem with the cast either. So
what's his name from Stranger Things, right?
Yeah, Joseph Quinn.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Good to see anyone that can break out of like a show like Stranger Things to go get
more
work.
That's a good point. Yeah. So, yeah.
How in the shit, pun intended, do you take a quiet dump? In the quiet place. So.
You gotta like submerge into the water.
Yeah, because like I'm sitting here thinking about it. Like, how do you take? Sometimes I
close the show out. Rudy.
Sometimes it's quiet. You know. Sometimes there's no noise
that we need to put up. And sometimes this is the question on the Instagram.
Sometimes I put out something that like ricochets off the toilet and you hear the zing.
Yeah.
And like how do you? What kind of anal silencer do you use for that?
I don't know. I mean, you'd have to avoid any sort of food that creates gas, right?
That's a good point.
Like just gas in general, you'd have to avoid
a lot of bran,
heartburn stuff. Like, fiber.
You might be safe because the
I wait for Jermaine to play.
The shit that comes out, the aliens will probably come running after you. Bro,
you gotta watch what you eat. You gotta have your ghost dumps. You know, you got to make sure you're like spreading cheeks so awesome. You get the nice. Yeah. If you got a gas,
they
out.
Learn that they have a little happening? Bit of a taste.
Absolutely, oh absolutely apologize for taking it.
Fuck off
for taking it to the potty humor, but there's questions I need answered.
Yeah, I mean, what if that was it? Like the aliens quickly learn like that noise means bad taste.
Right. No, this is not right yet.
It's like they hear noise, noise. Oh no, that's that noise.
Bad noise.
Leave
bad
them.
Noise.
No, leave it's them. A soundproof. It's a soundproof stall. There you go.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of padding. There you go. Yeah.
All right. Like submerge in the water.
You gotta go in your neighbor's like so pool or spa.
It's a tub. A bathtub. Put your head out. Do you clean the bathtub between each one though, or do you just let it float?
No.
How do you clean it between each one? How do you
don't flush?
Yeah, well yeah. You just don't use a toilet. You go into the ground.
You go out into the woods because if you shit in the woods, does it make a sound?
Yeah.
There is a thing where people are starting to poop in the showers.
What the fuck is happening?
No.
Conserve water? It is a thing.
Yes, to conserve water. So they'll just push
the
shit.
We are in a drought.
I mean, what was the line? What was the line from Seinfeld? It's all the same drain.
Always pees in the drain.
Yeah.
There's also another episode where Kramer, he's like likes to do everything in the shower, taking calls, he's making salads and stuff like that. But he's having like a blockage, so he installed a garbage disposal in the drain. You would do that, and then so you don't have to waffle down your. What's happening in this fucking show?
Hey, well, those you drinking?
What's happening to this world
after dark?
But the last person I ever thought would come up with poop down the shower drain is Jermaine. It's a day of surprises and hey, technical difficulties when you, everywhere.
When you listen to morning radio on the drive to work,
yeah.
You talk about the most weirdest topics.
Yeah.
Dude.
But it would be a time saver.
Just putting my big toe on the log and just trying to squish it down is just off-putting.
Can I put us out of our misery?
It's just off-putting.
Can I close it over you?
Because
it should have been way earlier before Rudy's fucking derailing question. God damn it. If there's anything you can tell me, guys.
These are the questions people want to know.
About that, yeah. We maybe missed it. It's happening in the next month.
Hollywood decided to make a movie where you have to be quiet.
People are going to have questions. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at The Hype Attack. And if you've gotten this far and didn't realize that we're a full video episode, check us out on YouTube. At the Hype Attack podcast.
Terrible.
review, subscribe, Douglas.
Keep the conversation going. Talk to us. If you have a suggestion on how you would poop in the Quiet Place universe, let's hear it.
You're going to need a poll to get it down. What's happening?
I love everybody.
A booty muffler.
Speaker next silencer. Same hype time.
Same hype time. Channel.
Hype attack.
I didn't have the button cued. Fuck.
Well done.
Poop attack.